The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
I told you, when he says it's time for Rolien Marx, it's definitely time for Rolien Marx. Hello, Ro.
Hello, guys. I tell you, I saw Howard mention the story about the baby on Twitter this morning.
Incredible.
And as soon as a podcast is available, I need it, guys. I need it.
All right. Okay, Rolien.
So what I need is to understand what is the implications of Abbas threatening to break off security coordination with Israel. What does that actually mean, Rolien?
Well, in the last 20 minutes, he's walked that back because I think that he's had a lot of criticism, some coming from Arab countries. But he has said that security ties are still intact with the United States and Israel, despite announcing that he's going to sever all ties with the Trump administration and Israel because of the peace plan. He doesn't like it. He says he still could sever all ties. He says if the Americans continue with this project, the boycott is there as an option, a full boycott. There is one channel left, and this channel could be cut off. He's really acting like a very, very spoiled child. This is a plan that if you've looked through it, and regardless of whether or not you like President Trump, and one thing that I have noticed is almost like a Pavlovian reaction to anything that President Trump does, people are going to condemn it. But if you've actually taken the time, and I have, to really, really look through the plan, it's quite resolute. It's very, very rational. It's probably the best deal the Palestinians are going to get. But this is Abbas really, really doing himself no favors. In fact, the Saudis have said to him, you really, really need to consider your stand because you might just come out the biggest loser in the end and have no port of call. We've heard from people like the U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Jared Kushner, who's the advisor to President Trump, saying, you know, it's fine to object. It's absolutely fine to object, but then put forward a proposal of your own. You can't just outright reject it. And I tend to agree with that. You know, if you disagree, but put forward your points, at least we have a jump off point for negotiation. We don't just have this, well, we're not even going to look at the plan, we're just going to roundly reject it. It does no favors to the Palestinian people. And what is quite interesting to note is that although we've seen an uptick in violence, which we have been expecting, although we have seen riots, we've also seen many citizens in the West Bank and Gaza just like really not caring about protesting. And this is a lot, but also the amount of Arab countries, including Morocco, Kuwait, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Oman, Egypt, and various others coming out in support. And this isn't to be confused with the Arab League.
Exactly what I was going to ask you, because I don't understand the disconnect. Explain that.
Okay, the Arab League, which is made up of several countries that are Muslim countries, including African countries that haven't opined yet on the peace plan, or they've stayed out of it, or they haven't outright rejected it. They have backed Abbas. They have shown their sympathy towards him. But we also have to look at the countries, the Arab countries that have endorsed this plan. And these are crucial countries in the region. These are countries probably with a lot more levity than those in the Arab League that are choosing to support Abbas.
Rolien, what does this mean for the future of the Palestinian people? You have a people who have basically lived in limbo, whether it's been in a refugee camp in Jordan, whether it is in, in Gaza, whether it is in the West Bank. They basically can't get on with their lives for the past 70 years. They've lived in limbo, and they've been, as I see it, and this is my personal view, they've basically... They are being bullied. No, what is the word? What is the word?
Well, I think bullied is probably the right word.
No. They've been held at gunpoint, or whatever you want to call it, by their leadership, who are so corrupt. Stop the, I've had this conversation with you in the past. Stop the funding to the Palestinian leadership, and you'll have a Palestinian state tomorrow. But as long as that's the payoff
of the Trump peace plan is to end the corruption, to end the cronyism.
Well, it's not going to happen with the corrupt.
Which is probably why you're having a big objection from the Palestinian leadership. Also, to end, very importantly, the pay for slave scheme. And there, it's just in addition to your question, we need to think about how much of that $150 million a year, which goes towards funding the salaries of terrorists and their families, could go towards building much needed infrastructure for the Palestinian people. And I really urge everybody to please read through the Trump plan, regardless of whether or not you like President Trump or his administration or where you stand on the political spectrum. Read through it objectively. This is probably the last chance the Palestinian people are going to get for a concrete plan. They've rejected all offers from previous administrations and previous Israeli leaders. And if they don't, they sentence the Palestinian people to more years of frustration, more years of hardship, more years of poverty. The Arab world is starting to get very, very tired of this, as well as many other countries. The Palestinians are really, the leadership are really exhausting the last bit of sympathy that people are having for them, because it's really the stubbornness. You are entitled to object. Bevakasha, gegezuntheit, object, but bring forward proposals. Bring something to the table that says, okay, we disagree on this, but this is what we want. At least start a point where there is some kind of conversation.
So apparently there was a left-wing Israeli march against the Trump plan in Tel Aviv on the weekend.
Of course there was.
Tamar Zandberg and co. What are the objections of the Israeli left?
Of course they are. They see it as Trump enforcing his solution onto the Palestinian people. But, this is Israel. This is a robust democracy at its finest. I am going to say that because it proves once again the freedom of speech. And it also proves that there are pockets within Israeli society that are not pro-Trump. And anything that the Trump administration puts forward, they are going to object to. It was to be expected. And, more power to them. That's how we demonstrate differing opinions in Israel, as we allow for peaceful protests to take place.
Rolene, Bibi apparently off to Uganda. What's he hoping to achieve?
Well, this is quite fascinating. We don't know the details because, and this is what I find very interesting, is that it hasn't gone through the RDF censor. They haven't said Prime Minister's office. They're using the RDF censor. But quite extraordinary pictures coming through from Entebbe. I mean, I just wondered, watching him land, what it must feel like to be Prime Minister Netanyahu arriving on a major diplomatic mission. One of the hopes is that we will see a significant upgrade in diplomatic ties with Uganda, who Israel does not have diplomatic ties with. I wondered what he felt being in this place of so much personal tragedy to him and his family. Yes. This is the place where the Netanyahu family lost Yonatan, or Yoni Netanyahu, on the raid on Entebbe when our Sayeret Matkal, our elite RDF commandos, went in to try and rescue hostages on an airplane, Israeli Jewish hostages. I wondered what the Prime Minister may be feeling, but what we do know is that he's possibly gone to convince the Ugandans to do formal bilateral ties with Israel and to open an embassy in Jerusalem. And the response that we've had from the Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni is that he's studying opening an embassy in Jerusalem, which is a interesting response, but very, very heartwarming to see the red carpet out for the Prime Minister, dances, a very traditional welcome. and a picture posed with Prime Minister Netanyahu, his wife Sarah, and the Ugandan president and his wife. So watch this space. This is the fifth trip to Africa for the Israeli Prime Minister. And let's see what the news headlines tomorrow bring. He'll be back on the plane to Israel a little later today.
You know what's so interesting? Just before we go to news headlines and wrap up with you, Rolien, I was speaking to somebody last night, and if you think about it, in the last few weeks, we've basically had different plagues. I mean, have you thought about this, Rolien?
I have to be honest, it hasn't been
okay.
up here on,
started off
on,
with
on
floods.
The, on the list of my thoughts, but I'll take a gander.
We had floods.